So we prepare our hearts to worship this morning. Hear these words from Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all say glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Would you pray with me? And so, living God, this morning we join all of creation. And we join the saints and the angels around your throne, and we cry out to the one who is powerful over all, those same words, glory. Glory to you, O Lord. The one whose voice, whose mere voice, can bring everything into being. Just by your voice, you can calm a raging sea. Just by your voice, you can heal a hurting heart. Just by your voice, you can show us the way to go, the way to live. Oh Lord, you are mighty and powerful over all. And so we ask you, Lord, to speak with that voice in this sanctuary today. Let your will, let your way be known. Let your presence be on full display. For we have come to worship you. We have come to encounter you, and we have come to hear from you. This morning in Sunday school, we were just focusing on the idea that where our attention is where our devotion is. And this is a day in our nation when we all give our attention for a few hours to some guys playing with the ball on a field. And it's good and it's fun. But God, may our attention always be more on you than on any of the things of this world, the entertaining things, the work things, the money things. May our attention be on you. That's why we're here, to see you, to behold you, and to be devoted to you. And so see our hearts in this place, and would you be so pleased by the worship that we bring? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. We are still in our journey with Peter and Jesus. I hope you are enjoying it so far. I'm enjoying a deep walk with Christ. Today we are in Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself. When evening came, he was there alone. By this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You have little faith. Why'd you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Would you be with me? And now, living God, as we turn to your word, we do so because our hearts long to hear from you, need to hear from you, want to hear from you. And so would your spirit move freely among us, helping us hear whatever it is that you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you, O Lord, want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's already been a long day. In the morning, Jesus gets word that John the Baptist has been beheaded. Grieving, he gets into a boat to try to be alone. The crowds see him from the shore and they begin to follow along wherever his boat is going. Even as a storm is brewing in his very own heart, Jesus sees the people, has compassion on them, brings his boat to the shore, and begins to heal the sick in the crowd. Before they know it, it's dinner time. Jesus, the same day, proceeds to feed 5,000 men, plus women and children. Have you ever thrown a dinner party for over 5,000 people? That alone will take it out of you. This has been a day. And so Jesus sends his disciples off in the boat to head on out of town. And he goes up on the mountain to spend the night with his Father. You notice when there's a storm in his very own heart, Jesus knows just what to do. Go and be with his Father. Go and rest in the presence of his Father. And while God the Father is attending to the storm within his very own Son, there is another storm that is brewing on the sea where the disciples are straining at the oars. Now, this is the very first time that the disciples have been sent out alone. And it doesn't take much to imagine the conversation happening among them in this moment. Great. The one time we actually need him, he's not here. Have you ever felt that way with Jesus? Like Jesus was all close and accessible when things were going fine. And then when it finally got to be too much and you couldn't do it anymore, then you needed him and you couldn't find him at all. We find in this story as it progresses that Jesus is never as far off as we think he might be. Sooner or later, every single life passes through a great storm. You know this, do you not? The biopsy comes back and it's cancer. The phone rings in the middle of the night. He's gone. You hear those words, "I don't love you anymore." That job that was supposed to take you to retirement, they lay you off. Too old to start something new, too young not to work. Got that child who just keeps choosing the path of destruction. Got those seasons where depression and anxiety just weigh so heavy. Have you known some great storms? Maybe some of us are in such a storm today. Wherever we are this morning, we are invited to hop into this boat with the disciples because everyone gets to be in this storm together. You know, Matthew never says that the disciples were really all that afraid of the storm. I mean, if you think about it, at least a third of them were fishermen. From this very region. They've been on this sea many, many times. This was not the first time that they had to navigate a storm on the Sea of Galilee. They knew how to do this. They knew how to hunker down. They knew how to just row harder. They knew how to grit their teeth and get to the other side. Some of us have been through so many storms that we pretty much know how to get through it ourselves too. they knew what they were doing. The first time that they are terrified in this story is whenever they see this figure, Jesus, walking toward them. They don't know that it's Jesus. They think that it is a ghost. And if you think about it, so often in the storms of our life, Jesus is actually right there with us, but we don't recognize that it is him at all. Maybe we think it's a ghost, maybe a stranger. We don't know, but it can't be Jesus. And our discipleship cords groups that met this week, different folks got to kind of share bits of their spiritual story with Jesus thus far. And in those stories, folks shared about times in their lives when it actually felt like God was very far away, when they needed God to be near. And as we shared these stories, I asked the same question over and over again. I said, now that you're on this side of that storm, do you look back and does it still feel like God was absent during that time? Or do you look back and sense that, no, God was there? And every single person that shared a story said, oh, he was there. I see it clear as day now. He was totally there. In the moment, I didn't recognize him. But God was always there. He has never not been there. The disciples are quicker to think that this is a ghost than that this could be Jesus come to be with them. My friends, if you're in a storm right now, and if you've been shaking your fist at Jesus just a little bit because he is not with you, I invite you to squint. Look all around you. Get really quiet and listen. Because there is a really good chance that he's right there. And you just haven't recognized him yet. But he's right there. Why does Jesus walk on the water? Is he just showing off? Look at me, no hands. I'm God. I would. The sea was something that the Hebrew people feared. The Hebrew people were land people. They were not water people. And for them, the sea represented utter chaos and uncontrolled power. They were terrified of the sea. Jesus, walking on those waves, is making a very clear statement. He is saying that there, right here in me, in this person, is a power that is greater than all of the chaos in our lives and in our world. That there is one who is in control of all of the things that we feel are most out of control. I don't know about you, but I need to hear that word this morning. There is one. There is one who has a hand over all the chaos. Who is in control when we feel most out of control. Anybody else need to hear that? I'll keep that one for myself. Why else is Jesus walking on the water? This is kind of an easy question. Because his disciples took the boat. And he wants to be with his people. And if there is no boat for him to get to them, well, then he's just going to find another way. Because when his people are in a storm, Jesus will do whatever it takes to be with his people. No boat, and they're way out in the middle of the sea. No problem, Jesus says. I'll just walk. Because there's no way that I am not going to be with my people. That is the heartbeat of our Jesus. And I tell you, my friends, as much as his heart longed to be with his disciples on that night as they struggled against those waves, do you believe with all of your heart that he longs to be with you in your storms too? Just as much as he loved them, he loves you. Just as much as he wanted to be with them as they went from one place to another place. He wants to be with you as you go from this place to that place. He just longs to be with you. Why is Jesus walking on water? Easy. Because our Jesus wants to be with his people. He just always wants to be with his people. Do we want to be with him? He wants to be with us. The disciples are freaking out. It's a ghost. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Did you know that that is the command that we hear the most in the New Testament from God? Do not be afraid. It's me, your God. I'm right here. Do not be afraid. And it turns out that that is what we need the very most in our lives. We don't so much need to have an escape from all of the waves, but we do need to know that we are not alone in them. When Miles is having a bad dream in his room and I hear him wake up at night, I find myself moving towards him and I'm saying before I even get there, I'm right here, I'm right here. You are not alone in this dark place. I may not be able to take the dream away, but I can say, I'm right here and I will be with you until you are resting again. I wonder who needs to hear this simple truth this morning. That Jesus speaks into our frantic heart right now and says, take heart, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid because your God is here. Your God is with you in this dark place and your God will be by your side until you are resting again. It's his favorite command. Don't be afraid. I'm right here. Don't be afraid. Peter calls out, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And I love this Peter moment. It's one of my very favorites. Because Peter could have said, Jesus, if it's you, then get in this boat with us and make the mess stop, would you? Jesus, if it's you, then you come to me and come take care of my stuff. Does that sound familiar? Peter says, Jesus, if it's you, call me to come to you. If it's you, Jesus, I want to be where you are. I want to do what you're doing. And this was the goal of a disciple, the ultimate goal. Disciples were chosen by their rabbis to come and follow their rabbi and learn from their rabbi, and so that ultimately they would become like their rabbi. And so that ultimately they would be able to do the same things that their rabbi did. That's the whole purpose of discipleship. And so Peter sees his rabbi walking on the water. And on this day, he is the most faithful of the entire bunch because he's the only one that actually dares to try to become like his rabbi. He's not just going to watch his rabbi do cool things. He wants to join in. He wants to do as his rabbi does. I don't know about you, but I feel that in my life, so often I settle. I settle for just being the disciple in the boat. I am happy to watch Jesus do amazing things, but I'm not stepping out of my place of comfort and control and joining Jesus on the water. Rabbi, you just do your thing and I'll applaud from the sidelines. Too often I watch him and I listen to him, but I stop just 1 foot short of actually following him. The real adventure of faith, it happens not in the boat, but on the water. When we stop demanding that Jesus come and get cozy where we're cozy, but instead we ask Jesus to just call us to come to him wherever he is, whatever roller coaster he's riding. And we say, Jesus, I just want to be where you are and I just want to do whatever it is that you're doing. So Jesus, you call me out and I will be on my way to you. That is the life of faith. And Peter steps right in. Call me to come to you, Jesus. You see, my friends, Peter's calling is our exact same calling. Every one of us are called to step out of our boats and walk on some waves with Jesus. We asked, well, what's my boat? That's a good question. What is my boat? For one, it's whatever we're most afraid of losing. It's whatever makes us feel a little bit safe, like we're in control in this world that so often feels out of control. What am I so afraid of losing? What's my safety net? Where do I feel in control? That's your boat. That's what you get to leave behind when you respond to Jesus's call to come to him. Why do I have to leave it behind? Because on this journey of faith, we are discovering that there's only one Savior. And the boat's not it. Jesus is. And so we let go of that thing that we think we've got to have so that we can cling to the real Savior, our Jesus. Peter steps out and he starts walking on the water just like his rabbi is doing. We don't know how far he walked. It doesn't matter. At least he had enough faith to give it a try. And that is one of the best moments in a disciple's life. As a pastor, this is the moment that gives me the greatest joy of perhaps anything. When somebody who I love, who is falling in love with Jesus, decides to finally take a real chance on Jesus and get out of that darn boat. When someone says, I know this sounds crazy, I may be stupid, but I'm just gonna do it. And they step into something that they're scared of and they do it anyway because Jesus is out there and he is calling them to come to him and do it. Stepping into a new job that makes no sense. Stepping into a new ministry that you don't have time for. Stepping into anything unknown that your heart tells you deep down inside you know it. Now this is Jesus calling me and so here I go. I am stepping in. The very best moments in any disciple's life is when we are out there walking on the water with our Jesus. That's when it gets scary, no doubt. That's when it's overwhelming, no doubt. But that is when it's fun. That's when we are fully alive. That is when we are dancing on the waves with our Jesus. It is really the only way that we live fully alive with him. Not in the boat, out there on the water. How do I know? How do I know if I'm a water walker? How do I know if I'm out of my boat? How do I know? Just do this morning, just one way to know. Identify right now in your mind and your heart. Identify what you are doing in your life today that you absolutely cannot do apart from the power of God. Those fishermen could have got across that sea through a storm. It would have been stressful. They'd done it before. They couldn't walk on water without him. What's something that you are doing in your life today that you absolutely could not be doing apart from the power of God? If there's nothing in your life that actively requires God's help, then we don't really need God for the lives that we're living. We're still in our boats. We're not yet fully in the drama of life. Jesus is near, no doubt. But the adventure, the life, is just one step away. What is it that he's calling you to these days that you know you cannot do on your own? That might be the reason why you haven't done it yet, but that should be the reason why we're like, yes, that's why I want to do it. Because I'm ready to get out of the boat. And I'm ready to dance on some waves with my Jesus. I'm ready. Know this, my friends. The second you decide to step out of that boat and you take that step, the winds will pick up. And doubt will sneak in. Asking you, who do you think you are trying to do as Jesus does? We know who you are. We know your limitations. We know your messy story. Who do you think you are trying that ministry? Who do you think you are thinking you can reconcile that relationship? Who do you think you are daring to apply for that job? You would never qualify. Who do you think you are giving that much of your money away? How are you going to live otherwise? Who do you think you are? Peter's having the time of his life, dancing on the waves with Jesus. And in those darn pesky waves voices get to him again. You're no rabbi. You're a fisherman. You belong on the boat. You can't do as Jesus does. Look at you out here where you don't belong. And hearing the voices, Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus and he sees those waves and he begins to panic. I remember those feelings. Every single time in my life that I've stepped into a new ministry that I knew in my heart of hearts Jesus was calling me to, I was so sure when I was saying yes to the opportunity. But when the moment came to board the plane to move to Egypt, and when the moment came when I was sitting in this youth room at this church in Texas before a single person had walked in, and when the moment came when I got in my car and began the 3-day drive north to Belfair, those same thoughts bombarded my heart and my mind as Peter. Jamie, who do you think you are? You're just a kid. You can't leave home. You were an awkward teenager. What makes you think teens are going to listen to anything you have to say? You're going to lead a church? Yeah, right. They'll see who you really are. They'll realize there's better pastors around. This is the roller coaster of faith, my friends. We just get used to it. We hear Jesus, and we get brave for a moment, and we step out to be with him, and then the doubts and the winds pick up, and we panic, and we start to sink. It's all part of walking on water. Let's just normalize it so we'll walk on water anyway. It's all part of being human. It's all part of following this God who invites us little humans to do as he actually does. At least Peter is on the water. At least we make those brave steps. Let the waves, let the doubt come. At least we are out of the boat because that's where our Jesus is. Peter might look silly in his panicky state for a moment. Who cares? Because you know where Peter is? He's on the sea with his Jesus while the others are looking on from the boat. I don't know about you, but I would rather be sinking in the waves with Jesus, having taken a risk on being with Jesus, than clinging to this boat, watching Jesus and someone else at the time of their lives. I'd rather be in the water with Jesus. Lord, save me, Peter cries out. While he's going under, Peter finally gets his eyes back in place and focuses on Jesus and calls to Jesus. His eyes are back on the Savior. And just like that, Jesus reaches out and he catches Peter. You see, Jesus was never as far away as Peter thought he was. And Peter was never in the amount of danger that he thought he was in. Not when the Savior was already right there beside him. Does everything feel just a little bit scary right now? Is Jesus right here? My answer to both is yes. And so could it be that the danger is not as big as our fearful hearts make it out to be? Not if the Savior is literally right here? There on the water, they have a conversation. Why'd you doubt? I'm right here, Peter. I'm the one that called you to come. Don't you know, Peter, if I'm here and if I call you, that it's gonna be a good ride? My friends, if anyone in this room feels like you're going under today, if fear's just got this hold on you these days, if all you've been seeing in your life is wave after wave after wave, if everything feels a little bit out of control, just try this simple invitation this morning. It worked for Peter. Maybe it'll work for us just for a moment. In this sacred space, just for a moment, take your eyes off of all the things that aren't working and just try this. Just cry out, Jesus, save me. Just that. Just stick out a hand. And just say, Jesus, help me. Three, Jesus, save me. Jesus, three words. Jesus was ready to get Peter back on the top of the waves with just that plea. And my friends, he is ready to do the same for you. Eyes on Jesus. Lord, save me. He will. Every single time, he will, because he's never as far away as we think he is. Peter did not fail on this day. Peter did not fail because he had a moment of panic and started to drown. Peter was a human. Peter didn't fail because when he got back in the boat, he was soaking wet. No. Failure isn't sinking a little while you're walking on the water with Jesus. Failure is being too afraid to ever take one step out of the boat. Being too afraid to even try to really live with Jesus at all. So what? Peter sank a little. So what? He was called by, and he danced on the waves with, and he was snatched up by the hand of any failure there. The failure was the 11 who wouldn't get out of the boat. They get in the boat, and the wind stops, and everyone's amazed. Truly, this is God's Son. One closing thought. Don't miss this. The whole story, did you notice the whole story? Jesus just keeps coming to his people. He moves toward his disciples when they're struggling at the sea. He moves toward them when they decide that he is a menacing ghost. He moves toward them when they are adventurous enough to give him a dare. He moves toward them when they begin to drown. He moves toward them when they ask for help. He moves toward them when they are shivering and wondering if they did the right thing. He moves toward them when they realize who he is. He moves toward them when they worship him. You see, Jesus never stops moving towards the ones he loves. So, my friends, whether you're clinging to your boat today, just tight-fisted, you're clinging to it, or whether you're on the great adventure of faith, walking on the water with your Jesus, or whether you're sinking right now in doubt and discouragement, this one thing is still true for you. Jesus is moving toward you with a hand of salvation and an invitation to be fully alive with him. And he's not gonna stop moving towards you because you are one of the ones he loves, and he just keeps moving towards the ones that he loves. And so would you look up? And would you look closely? That's Jesus moving towards you. I dare you to step out and move towards him too. Even if you don't, he's still gonna keep moving towards you because you're one of the ones that he loves. Would you pray with me? And so Jesus, we've all got our boats and we've all got our invitation to step out and walk on some waves with you. Give us the courage to say yes. Give us the want to say yes. And when we start to sink, give us that quick response to say, Jesus, save me, because I'm all in with you. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen.